Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 12 of Acts chapter 5. Starting in verse 12, it says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation." Verse 18, "And laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go, stand, and speak in the temple of the people all the words of this life." Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity. As we look into your word this morning, Father, I pray that you would give me boldness to proclaim your word, that you would give me the very words to preach. Father, I need thee. I need thee. I pray, Father, that you would be lifted up, that you would be glorified. I pray, Father, that your word would go out and it would touch our hearts. And as your word tells us, it will not return unto you void, but it will go and it will accomplish that which you've sent it to. So I pray, Father, that each one of us today would hear your word, that it would touch our hearts in such a way that we would be drawn closer to you. And I pray, Father, that, again, you would be glorified. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The early church having a huge impact on Jerusalem. Huge impact. Thousands of people saved. Wouldn't that be nice? Thousands of people saved. People healed. People's lives changed. The church was unified, magnified, and multiplied. Magnification in the public eye happens when He is lifted up. When the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up, then people will see a difference. And that affects our reputation to the public out there. When He's lifted up, when He's magnified, that's what it's about. The gospel was spreading like wildfire. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't it be great to be in a time when the gospel is just going out like wildfire and spreading everywhere? Wouldn't it be amazing to see thousands of people saved? I think it'd be amazing. Amazing. In a day and age where we see where people are indifferent to the gospel. You can share the gospel with people, and I had discussion with my brother this week, and he says he's so tired of Christians who are out there trying to beat the gospel into people. It's not our job to beat the gospel into somebody. It's our job to warn them. Then they get to make the choice. And if they choose to reject, that's their choice. We don't get to beat it into them. Too many people are trying to beat the gospel into other people, and it turns them off. In fact, you'll see, you can just feel the wall being built between you and them as you're trying to beat the gospel into them. No, we're supposed to warn them. Jesus didn't take the gospel and beat people over the head with it. He just gave them the gospel. And to those that would accept the gospel and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He changed their lives. To those who rejected, what did He do? He moved on. He moved on. That's what we're called to do. Spreading like wildfire. The church is growing by leaps and bounds, and everybody's happy with it. Well, Not quite everybody, right? Not quite everybody. The religious leaders were not happy. They didn't like it. In fact, they opposed Jesus. I tell you, you can tell who's got a personal relationship with Jesus and who has religion. People who have religion are not happy that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being spread. People who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ like the fact that the gospel is being spread. But the religious crowd doesn't like it. They're not happy about it. In fact, the religious crowd are the ones who put him to death. In fact, the religious crowd are the ones who resented even the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The religious crowd wanted nothing to do with him. They were losing their power. It was going over to the people, and they are jealous, they're envious, and they're indignant. Verse 17 says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation." Do you know what the Sadducees? They were Sadducee because they didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You'd be sad too if you didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus' resurrection is why we have eternal life. Because if he had just come and died and not conquered death, we wouldn't have eternal life. But he is the first fruits. In verse 28 of chapter 5, it says, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." This is not a compliment. It wasn't meant as a compliment. It was meant as a complaint. They are complaining about what's going on here. Today, we probably have some that would call themselves Christians that are upset when people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we should be excited about it. We should be rejoicing. We should be happy. It was nice to hear from the Rojas just the other day. In fact, I'm getting a little smarter. I can't send his information to him for encouragement on Sunday morning because there's 16 hours ahead of us. By the time he gets it, when I send it to the other guys that are in the States, it's way too late. So I sent his yesterday afternoon. And he got it in the morning before their church service, because yesterday afternoon here was Sunday morning there. And he sent back and he said, "It's really hard to share the gospel here because we've given a limited area in which we can go out and pass out tracts." It's not like here where you can go anywhere you want. They have a designated area where they are allowed to pass out tracts and talk to people. They can't go to their homes. They can't do it when they're out shopping. They have a designated area of which they can go and talk to people and pass out tracts. And praise the Lord, Miss Roma led two ladies to Christ just the other day. Praise the Lord. See, because man wants to limit the gospel. But God can do the impossible, and he can bring people to Jesus Christ even if you limit where we can go and share it. We just have to go share it. These same people who had this complaint are the same ones that said of Jesus, "He is a friend of sinners." Thank God he is. Thank God he is. Best compliment that a born-again believer in Jesus Christ could receive is that people would say, "That's what that church believes." And you could fill in whatever. You could fill in, "They believe in the virgin birth of the Savior." And I do. You can actually go out and you can say that Jesus never sinned and he came back to life, and I believe that too. You can also say the Bible is inspired and there really is a hell. And I believe that as well. See, when the world is saying these things, it's not as a compliment to us. It's supposed to be against us, and yet keep it coming, right? I also believe that the devil is real. I do. The Bible says he is. I believe that we are filled with the Spirit, and I believe that miracles are performed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the other day when Miss Roma led those two people to Christ, I believe two miracles took place. Two people became born again. Praise the Lord. I also believe that abortion is murder. Had that conversation this week, and I was told, well, you have to think of it from the whole picture. I said, I'm sorry, but the whole picture is, if a woman is killed and she's pregnant, it's two counts of murder. But if the baby's the only one that's taken, it's an abortion. It's okay. No, it's not. It's murder. Because God said it's murder. I said, how do you justify that it's murder of two because she was pregnant, but it's not murder of one if they just take the baby? Well, you're just not seeing the whole picture. What am I missing? I don't think I missed anything. I think I'm just stating the facts. Well, what if those kids were raised and they didn't have a home because they were orphaned? Well, don't you think God could raise somebody up to raise those children? Or maybe the people that would have been raised up to raise those children were also aborted. See, you can't justify sin because you want to. Sin is still sin. I also believe that you can wait for marriage to have sex. I believe wholeheartedly. I also believe that somebody who has two chromosomes is a woman. Two X chromosomes is a woman. I believe that wholeheartedly. I don't care what they think. I don't care what they say. You know, I get tired of being said, we got to follow the science. We got to follow the science. We got to follow. Well, that's science. Right? Let's get to what's right. And yes, we need to take a stand. We need to take a stand for the truth. For the truth. We need to get the salt out of the shaker, right? We need to be the salt and light in this world. So how can we fill our own town with God's Word? Let's look at verse 19 and 20 of our text. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So it's a simple three-point outline. You ought to be able to figure it out, right? It's kind of in the title. So go, stand and speak. We need to go. We need to go. We need to have a consistency in our witness. We need to stand. We need our courage for our witness. And then we need to speak. We need to have communication of our witness. Today I'm just going to deal with one of those. That little word, go. That little word, go. In Acts 5:32a it says, and we are His witnesses of these things. Of these things. A witness is somebody who has first-hand knowledge. First-hand knowledge of something that's important, right? If you go into court, a witness will be called to the stand, right? They'll be called to the stand. But before they can take that stand, their stand, they have to get up and they have to go. We got to get up and we got to go. We call it the Great Commission. It's a little two-letter word. Go. Go. Matthew 28:8-19 says, go into all the world, right? We're supposed to go. The first two letters, be a little test for you this morning. The first two letters of the gospel are G-O, go. We need to go. We need to go. Psalm 126:6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." I'm going to tell you right now, nothing happens until we go. Nothing happens until you go. Jesus did it, right? Jesus went. In fact, he said it, and he did it. In Mark 1:38, he says, "And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." Jesus went, actually cast demons out of a man, right? He did all kinds of things, spake many things into them by parables even. Our problem is the let's went. People who used to go, people who used to be concerned, people who used to be witnessing, their get up and go got up and went. They're no longer doing what God's called them to do. Turn over to Luke, please. Chapter 10. Verses 1 through 3 of Luke chapter 10. It says, "After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." We cannot know who's going to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and who's going to reject him. We have no idea. It's interesting. I spent some time one day, and I was witnessing to a guy, and by the time I was done and all, I thought he was lost. Then he gave me his testimony of salvation. I was like, we're supposed to be living it, aren't we? Here I thought he was lost. He had a wonderful testimony of salvation, but it wasn't obvious in his life. We're supposed to be living what we have received. John 15:16, please. Keep your hand in Luke, if I haven't lost you yet there, because we're going to go back to Luke 14 in a minute. But go over to John 15:16. John 15:16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." So who are the chosen? Who are the chosen? This is interesting. Luke, let's do Luke chapter 10 first. Then we'll go to Luke 14. Luke 10, 10 and 11. Luke chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, it says, "But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us do we wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." Whosoever, whosoever it will, can come to God. I thank God for whosoever God. I thank God for him. Because of the fact that anyone can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what their background is, it doesn't matter what their nationality is, it doesn't matter their skin color, it doesn't matter anything other than if they will come to Jesus Christ and accept him as Lord and Savior, they shall be saved. Doesn't matter who they are. Some will get off track about predestination. And it's tough to understand until you understand the word foreknowledge. Moody said this, "God save the elect, then elect some more." Who are the elect? all who elect to be saved. Who are the chosen? All who choose him. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 23, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." And Luke 15, verse 25. Oops, excuse me. Luke 15, 4. I knew that didn't look right. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" And Romans 15:25, "But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints." Over and over and over we see where Jesus went. Jesus went. Jesus went. He went to minister unto the saints. He went and did what he's commanded us to do. I like the fact that we have a Savior that didn't ask us to do things that he himself did not do. He went and he shared the gospel. He went and he saved people. We can't save them, but we can point them to Jesus and give them the opportunity, but we have to go. Jesus was willing to go and to go and to go, and yet he says we're to go, and we sit. In Acts 8:29, he was talking to Philip, "Go and join thyself unto" who? The Ethiopian eunuch, right? Why? Because he was reading the Word of God and he needed somebody to explain it to him. Go. And so he went. In most cases here, this word translated go is in what is called present progressive tense and literally means as you are going. As you are going. Say you're sitting in your workplace. You look at your coworker and say, "Hey, I never asked you, do you go to church anywhere?" Then hand them a tract and say, "I'd like to invite you. I'd like to invite you to where I attend church." See, that's the first step in being a witness. You can share. How about the grocery store or the drive-thru window when you give them your money? How about if you hand them a tract? Of course, most places we're using credit cards now, right? Hand them the credit card and hand them a tract. We could be a witness. Pumping gas, talking to the person on the other side of the pump, right? Instead of talking about, you know, the rain or the hail or the snow or whatever's going on out there, the sunshine, whatever. How about if we invite them to church? Hand them a tract. How about when you write to one of your family members or something? Send them a greeting card or something. How about if you throw a tract in there? I was doing for years. Every time I'd send one of my bills, utility bills and all, I'd just throw a tract in it and send it. I said, "What happens with those ones that said, do not send any correspondence?" Still throw them in there. They have an option. They can throw it away or they can read it. But at least it's a witness to them. There's all kinds of ways. How about going to the restaurant? One of the things we do. Go to the restaurant. You leave a tip, put it in the tract. Write a little note. We have a trifold tract. Write a little note on there. If we have good service, I'm not afraid to write that on there. Thanks for the great service. And I always write by name because their name's on the, they usually have a badge on or they have on the receipt, their name, just write on their name. So-and-so, thank you for the great service. If you get a chance, come visit us sometime. and sign it. I've actually seen people, our wait people, take that into the kitchen where the manager is and show it to them. Now who's seen that? Not just them, but the manager's seen it now. It's a way to get the gospel out to people. It's a first step in witnessing. Why did God leave us here? Instead of just whisking us off to heaven. You know? At salvation, we could have been just taken right out of here. But he didn't do that. He left us here. With the idea that we are to take as many with us as possible. But it requires us going. What happens if you see your neighbor out working in the yard or something and you're outside? I always go over and talk to him. Well, I don't have a tract everywhere I'm at. Well, you can still invite him to church. You know? People say, well, that works for sometimes, but other times it doesn't. What happens if you're too far from the church? I've invited our neighbors to the church. Give them a tract, and the one guy says, oh, that's kind of far to drive, isn't it? I said, I do it every Sunday. Do it every Thursday. You live right kitty corner from me. In fact, if you want to be technical, he's closer because I go that way on the way out, and he's kitty corner that way, so he's actually closer than I am. If you want to get technical, he said, you know, I just might do that sometime. Has he shown up? No. Do I expect him to? He might. We don't know. We actually take him when we're on vacation. Right? People go, what are you going to do with that? Well, they might not come to the church here, but we're not just representing the church, we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe they don't come to this church, especially those that we saw in Mexico, right? It's a little hard for them to probably make that trip every Sunday. But at least you leave the gospel message with them. I'm just saying. Oh, go to Colorado. Pass out tracts when you're down there, right? Are they going to come here to church? They might visit up here. We had a lady from Nebraska visited last year. Do we know where they're going to come from? No, she was visiting family, so she came. If somebody was in Nebraska and handed her a tract, she might have had that to know where we were, right? I'm just saying, wherever you're at, a tract is an easy way to witness. Just give them out. Some of us in our daily lives are striving to be a living witness as we are going. Need to be a witness. People should be able to look at a child of God and say, that one belongs to God. It shouldn't be like I was mentioning the one I was witnessing to because I could swear they were lost. And then find out they were saved. I was like, dude, you should be living it. It should be evident in our lives. So I'd say grab some church tracts. Take them with you. So when you're out there, as you're going, hand them out. Hand them out. We're all here today because somebody cared enough about us. As a child of God, somebody cared enough about you that they wanted to see you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Somebody invested in your life. Maybe several people. That's why you're here, is because somebody cared. We're supposed to care also. Pass it on, as they say. Now, I'm going to tell you, Satan does not like this kind of preaching. He doesn't like any of this happening at all. He doesn't like this. In fact, he wants us to get lost in the muddy waters of ritual, tradition, social events like most churches, with nothing but feel-good messages and nothing controversial. No conviction. No challenges to the rise to a higher level, and no challenge to loving accountability. None of that. Drives me nuts when people say, I just want to go to a church that makes me feel good about myself. I'm sorry. God didn't say you're supposed to feel good about yourself. God said that His Word's supposed to go out, it's supposed to touch your heart, and it's supposed to convict you of your sin. That's what it's about. Because God will clean you up if you let Him. But Satan wants us to come to church with a consumer mentality. Yeah. He wants us to be a consumer of the church instead of a contributor to the church. And let me tell you, remember when I said selfishness comes easy for humans? That is selfish. It's all in what can I get out of it? Some will say, preacher, I'm glad. I'm just glad. I've been sad all my life, and I just want to come and be glad. I want you to make me glad. I want you to make me happy. I want you to make me this. And I wish I could. I wish I could get you so happy and glad and on fire for God that you'd go out and, as you're going, be a witness. But it's not my job to make you feel good about yourself. That's not what God called me to do. God called me to equip the saints so they can go out and multiply. This lady, she took a first aid course. A few weeks later, she goes back to the teacher. She says, I'm so excited. I was on the scene of an accident. This car slammed head-on into a huge oak tree. Said, she described everything, all the gruesome stuff of the joints being out and the limbs protruding and everything. She went into great detail. And he said, did you remember what you were taught? Oh, she said, I did. She said, remember when you said, if I put my head between my knees, I won't pass out? You're right, it worked. Now I'm going to tell you that just like that, that's the selfish attitude of a lot of our churches. Instead of giving people what they need, we're more concerned about what we want. It's unfortunate. We live in a world that's bruised, bleeding, battered, and on its way to hell. All we can think about is how we feel. God will fix our attitude when we stop sitting still and we go to work. It's hard enough to get some to come. Sometimes it's even hard to get them to come regularly. It's even harder to get them to go. Jesus said, go fish, right? We have some people who love fishing, right? Go fish. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Turn to Acts chapter 26 and verse 16. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll notice this is in red letters because this is what Jesus said. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Jesus is the one that told us to go. Jesus is the one that said we are to be a witness to this lost and dying world. Next time we're going to talk about taking our stand and how better to speak. But it all begins as we go. As we go. And we're already going, right? We go about our life every day. We're already going. The key is to do these things as you are going. Make it a part of your life. Isn't it God's desire that every single person come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? And if we as children of God have the same desires that God has, then our desire would be that every single person would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. How are they going to do that if we don't go? And I know some people will say, well, that's somebody else's job. And I'm going to say again, like I say so many times, somebody else doesn't exist. God didn't say it's somebody else's job. He said, as a child of mine, you are commanded to go. And as you go, witness. Witness. It's not all that difficult. If you ever take a trip by a plane, it's kind of interesting because once they sit next to you, they're kind of strapped in. I've noticed when they get up and walk to the back of the plane or the front of the plane, they always come back to the same seat. Kind of funny how that works. They're not going to jump out the window. It's an opportunity to witness to them. What are they going to do when you're in the grocery store in line? They're going to quit checking you out because you hand them a tract? How about the bank, the credit union, wherever you do that stuff? People go, I do all that online. Okay, well, it's a little hard to witness to people online, isn't it? I like doing things in person. It gives you a better opportunity to create a relationship and to share things with people. I'll be going into the bank this week and I'll be telling them about our revival meeting coming up. See, people say, well, I wish I had known about it sooner. Well, it's not till the end of next month. This will give them plenty of time to put it on their calendar, right? We need to witness to people. We need to invite them to church. We need to give them a gospel tract. We need to have a love for people like Jesus has a love for people. And then we'll go. And as we go, we'll witness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your word. Father, there's no one who can make a good argument that they're not commanded to go. As a child of yours, we are all commanded to go and witness. So I pray, Father, that we would find it in our hearts that there would be a love for people that would overshadow any fear we have of going and witnessing. I pray, Father, this morning, if there's someone in our midst that does not know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, I pray that today would be that day. Your desire is that they would come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and be added to your family. So I pray that would happen. I pray for the born-again believers here, Father, that we, as we go, we would purpose in our hearts to share the gospel message with people, share the tracts that the church puts out that we could invite people into church. So, Father, we'll have a time of invitation now. We'll turn over to you. For it's in the blessed name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one's looking around as the piano plays. If you need to come, you come to this old-fashioned altar. If you need to get saved, I'd love to show you. You need to get right with God. That's what this is for. You need to pray for somebody that needs Jesus Christ. Again, that's what this is for. Take this time that God gives us and use it.